Just wanted to read one short passage of scripture. If you want to turn to it, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and in my Bible it's page 273. I'll read from verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love Jehovah thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that Jehovah thy God may bless thee in the land whither thou goest. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou art not here, but shalt be drawn away, and thou shalt bow down to other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whereunto thou passest over the Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you. Life and death have I set before you, blessing and cursing. Choose then life, that thou mayest live, and thy seed. Life is all about choices. You all know what choices are, from the youngest to the oldest. Someone gives you some pocket money, you have to choose what you're going to spend it on, or you're going to save it. Go into a shop because you need some clothes. You have to choose whether it's confronted with a whole range of different trousers or shirts or whatever it is, and you have to choose. Or you're on holiday in school. You have to choose what you're going to do with your day. Or when you get a bit older, you have to choose which subjects you're going to study. And then what are you going to do for employment? How are you going to earn a living? How are you going to provide for those you love? There are choices. And sometimes we make good choices, and I'm afraid for myself, sometimes I make bad choices. But nevertheless, life is made up of choices. But there is one very important choice, more than anything else, is the question that Moses said on behalf of God to these people, the children of Israel. He said, I've told you the way of blessing, the way of life, or I've told you that if you don't go that way, there's an alternative, death and evil. It was quite a clear choice for them. Did they want to choose life, or would they choose death? You might say, well, it's a no-brainer. Why would they choose death and evil? Well, in the gospel, it's the same choice. Will you choose life, which is to be found in Jesus? Or will you choose the way of the world, choose the way of your own interests, choose the way that God is not pleased with? Because one is going to end in death, judgment, and hell, and the other way is going to end in life, eternal life, where you enjoy all the blessings that God has in mind for those who love him and obey him. I'm just speaking about choices in life. We all have choices to make. But we particularly have this very important choice as to whether we're going to choose Jesus or we're going to choose the world. One of which leads to death and one of which leads to life, eternal life. God is very clear. He doesn't want us to be confused. Sometimes you hear men saying, it's clear. God has made it so that there's quite a definite answer. Either you go one way or you go the other. There's no grey area. There's no in-between. Some people like to steer a middle course, a non-committal. But in the question of your eternal life and your eternal salvation, there can be no middle choice. You have to choose one or the other. In one sense, it's not a choice, because as I say, it's a no-brainer. And God knows all the results of those that live in sin, those that continue in sin, those that are not forgiven, those that haven't been saved. He knows that that way leads to judgment. And so God doesn't actually give us a choice. He says he commands all men everywhere to repent. In other words, we need to acknowledge that as away from God, we're sinners, and we need to come back to God. We need to be restored to the place that God wants us to have. You might say, well, I don't have any money. I'm not very clever. I haven't passed lots of exams. I'm not a very high earner or a chief executive or anything of that nature. I want to tell you about some choices that God has made too. First of all, God has chosen the Lord Jesus as the one that has pleased him. And the voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight." And the Bible tells us about Jesus and what he did. God said of Jesus, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul has found its delight. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show forth judgment to the nations." That's speaking of Jesus. Most will know the story of how Jesus was born into a manger. Most will know how he grew up. And then when his public service commenced, he went about healing the sick. Went about preaching and teaching the way of God that pleases God. He fed the 5,000 with the 12 loaves and 5 small fishes. He was on the sea in a boat, and there was a violent storm, and they were afraid that they were going to sink. And Jesus stood up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and there was a great calm. The one I'm speaking to you of is Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. And he showed who he was by those wonderful things that he did. There was a man in the room in the synagogue, and he had a withered arm. It was useless. He couldn't work properly. Men have no use for people who are not able-bodied. Thankfully, there's provision in this country for those that are disabled. But this man, he was there, and no one there could do anything about him until Jesus came. And he said, "Stand up." And the man stood up in the middle of the room. No one else could do anything. But Jesus said to him, "Your arm is now healed." And his arm became as good as new. Jesus had the power to heal, to bring in blessing. And he demonstrated who he was by those many miracles. But despite all that, men made the choice. "We don't want this man." They took him to Pilate. And Pilate could find nothing wrong with him. He'd done nothing wrong. Done nothing worthy of death. And yet they still said, "Away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us." What a choice. You would have thought it was a no-brainer, and I think Pilate thought it was. Because he said, "I have a choice, I can do set free one person. I've got this murderer here, I can let him go. Well, I've got Jesus, one who brings healing, one who brings in life, one who could restore people, one who could still the winds and the waves. Choose him or this murderer, someone who's violent, someone who's an unpleasant person." And they chose Barabbas, the murderer. And you would have thought it was a no-brainer. Such an obvious choice. Choose Jesus, the one who can bring in blessing, the one who can save you. And yet they said, "We don't want him. Take him away. Crucify him." And the awful thing was that Pilate, the governor, Roman governor, he commanded that they should take Jesus outside Jerusalem and crucify him. Nail him to a wooden cross to die. That's what the world thinks of Jesus and thought of him. And that's what my heart is like. You need to recognise that my heart is no better than those other people there. We said, away with him. He cannot reign. We don't want him to reign over us. But tonight you have a choice to say that was wrong. I do want Jesus to reign over me. I do want Jesus and all the life that he can provide. I don't want the things of the world, the murderers, the unpleasant things, things that end in death and evil. And you have this choice tonight. Perhaps you've already chosen. If you've chosen Jesus, I rejoice, and you will never regret it. But if you haven't chosen Jesus yet, effectively you're choosing the other way, the way of death. Because the Bible tells us we've all sinned, and don't meet God's standard. You want to know what God's standard is? Look at Jesus. He did no sin. He did God's will. He showed love to each one. He was righteous. He didn't make compromises. Didn't make wrong decisions, like some of us. And I don't want you, dear hearers, to make a wrong decision tonight. If you go out of that room still not decided for Jesus, then you're making a wrong decision. Because what I don't know is whether there will be preaching here next week. Because one day the world is going to end. God is going to come in judgment. But Moses presented this choice to the children of Israel. He said, choose blessing. Choose life and blessing rather than death and cursing. And Jesus is standing today in heaven asking you to come to him, because he can bless you and he can set you free from your sins. Because when he hung there upon that cross, he remained there. He could have come down. He had no need to remain there. He had done nothing worthy of death. And the voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I have found my delight. God was pleased with Jesus and all that he had done. But Jesus remained on the cross for a reason. And it's because of his love for you and for me, that we might be blessed, that we might be able to have to go the way of life and of blessing, because someone needed to bear our sins. Those wrongs that I've done, any sin you've done, any wrong you've done to your parents or anyone else, is a sin against God. And one sin, just one, would be enough to prevent you coming into God's presence, because God is a holy and righteous God, and he cannot have sin in his presence. So one sin, and that's enough to mean that you go the way of death. But Jesus, he remained on the cross that he might bear our sins. God poured out on his head the judgment that should have fallen on the sinner's head. And if you'll accept Jesus as your Saviour, God will view it that you're holy and sinless like Jesus, because Jesus has borne that judgment and exhausted it. There's nothing to be added to what Jesus has done. He remained there upon the cross, and when the soldier pierced his side after he died, out came the blood and the water. And that blood is sufficient to cleanse you and me and everyone in this room, and whosoever will come to Jesus, able to cleanse them from their sin. And God's given you that choice tonight. Choose life and blessing. Well, you say, well, don't merit it. And I can tell you, none of us merit it. But another thing that God has chosen in addition to the fact that he's chosen Jesus as the one who's done all his will. It also tells us about what he's chosen, the people that he's chosen. It says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world, that he may put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world, that he may... God has chosen the foolish things of the world, that he may put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world, that he may put to shame the strong things. And the ignoble things of the world, and the despised has God chosen. All these things that, if men make a choice, they would, if you had to choose a football team, you would choose the best footballer. You want the best goalkeeper, the best centre forward. You make the best team. But God doesn't need anything from us. God who lives in the heavens, he doesn't need anything, and we have nothing to bring. I'm not a great intellect. I haven't got any lots of money. I haven't done any great things during my life. I have nothing to commend me. But God doesn't want us for what we've done. He wants us because we cast our love, because we put our trust in him. We accept what he said. He's looking for those that are obedient. The gospel goes out that you might be obedient to it. Commands all men everywhere to repent. Choose life and blessing. And so we have a choice. Which way are you going to choose? These things are important because we don't know how much longer we're here. We don't know if there's going to be another preaching. But today is the opportunity for each one of us to make that choice. Choose Jesus, one who has been crucified and borne that judgment for us, one whose precious blood has been shed, that there's a righteous basis for God to forgive us our sins. One who's been into the grave and come out triumphant. And he lives in the glory. And he wants all those that come to know him as their own personal saviour to be with him forever. Eternal life, the Bible speaks of. And God doesn't want us for our intellect, but because we love Jesus. Because we put our faith and trust in him. Nothing that you have to do, nothing that I can do. We have no merits, but God is freely offering to each and every one blessing. Choose you life and blessing. May each one choose Jesus as their saviour, one who has suffered on the cross, the one who is alive to die no more. I can't show you Jesus, it's by faith. Will you accept God's word? Will you trust him when he says that Jesus has completed the work? Will you accept that he's coming again to take those who love him to be with him forever? Can you accept that there is judgment waiting for those who ignore that invitation? We sang, all things are ready, come. And tonight I'm standing before you like Moses did to those people of old. He said, there's a choice, a clear-cut choice. Choose life and blessing, or death and evil. Which are you going to choose tonight? It's a no-brainer. Choose Jesus, because he's the one who has done it all. And that's the only one who can bless you. The only one who can grant you eternal life. Salvation from judgment. One who's able to set you free. Speaks of Jesus as a rock. One who, when you think of a rock, it's something firm and immovable. And that's what it speaks of when it speaks of Jesus as a rock. He's the same yesterday, today, and to the ages to come. Jesus will never change. You can trust him, absolutely. May everyone here make that choice. Choose Jesus and life, and blessing and eternal life. And don't delay. That was just simply my message. You have the choice. I beg of you to make it for Jesus tonight.